Welcome to the Impact Lawyer Podcast. I am Nicholas Torrent. I work as the Executive Director at DigiLegal.com. Thanks for joining me today. This is a podcast about the future of the legal profession after the COVID-19 pandemic. The legal profession is among those that has generally resisted modernization. Basically, when you're a lawyer, you're essentially focused on meeting deadlines, avoiding conflicts of interest, following up with clients, and finding new clients. You don't really have time to track your firm's performance, track client satisfaction, or to invite entrepreneurs to introduce their latest innovations. That was the situation until COVID-19 appeared and upturned our ways of living and doing business. Lawyers, like everybody else, were confined and had to organize to deliver services to clients differently. This brought new technologies in the spotlight for many lawyers, including conservative lawyers. For most of us, this seems to have been a good experience overall. The pandemic forced us to consider new technologies to continue providing our services to our clients. And this is very important for several reasons. First, health regulations and client health concerns will force lawyers to provide their services differently. For example, clients should not be waiting in a room less than 2 meters apart. They should not have magazines that they can touch, and they should wash their hands upon arrival. Second, health regulations may make it overly expensive to safely interact with clients and with colleagues. For example, sharing conference rooms, signing powers of attorney, serving coffee, or working in small offices where you don't have 2 meters between each desk. Finally, clients will want to exchange and interact with their lawyers online. It is good practice to exchange sensitive information through safe means, not WhatsApp or Messenger, which both belong to Facebook, and Facebook is not famous for confidentiality. As a result, law firms may find that their existing premises are no longer financially sustainable. Likewise, some lawyers who belong to a vulnerable group may feel the need to work from home. So overall, it is a good time to reduce costs, because our business is going to be impacted, instead of increasing costs to meet health regulations. These changes in customer behavior will need to be accounted for. As a result, it seems likely to me that the time is right for lawyers to adopt a customer-centric approach. Customer centricity means putting the client at the center of the business. You begin asking yourself questions such as, how can a client easily make an appointment? How can a client send a document? How can I keep a client regularly informed of their case? How do I prepare a client for a hearing? How can a client provide feedback on a document? How do I keep track of changes to a document? How is it in my record that a client sent me a document and that I need to process it? All these questions will allow you to organize your firm better around the client. You may ask whether there are other reasons for doing this. Yes, there are. Lawyers are failing to convince new generations of consumers to use legal services. They go for Google. And so the market is stagnating since 2011. Some clients of law firms who were in the vulnerable groups may have passed away. If lawyers don't adapt to clients, clients will find alternative service providers to serve them. And so the next question is, how do we do this? Well, your number one asset is your website, and your number two asset is collaborative tools. Create a website that clients can use commercially, and design processes that clients can use to interact with you through a collaborative platform. Use digital tools to help your team work together, monitor tasks, and assign roles. Here are some good practices I would like to recommend. This is based on my personal experience, and it should, of course, be adapted to every law firm's needs. Work with goals. Make sure your staff knows what they need to deliver. Set deadlines to deliver the goals. Clarify the criteria to evaluate the work. What is good work, in your opinion? Empower your staff and trust them to deliver on time. It's not really productive to call them every 30 minutes to check in. Prioritize goals. Make sure that the staff knows which goals should be delivered first. Which criteria should be used to make calls. Use collaborative tools to exchange and manage the workload. Use secure file sharing with a cloud, for example. Clarify roles. Who does what? Improve continuously. Let your online processes develop and improve as you go. Let experience make them better. So now that we talked about all these aspects, we need to talk about monitoring the results you're going to get. How to know that you're on the right track? The answer to that question is KPIs, key performance indicators. Key performance indicators are data points that you set up and that you monitor over time to assess performance. I would recommend that law firms create a list of KPIs that they should monitor on a constant basis. Here are a few examples. Of course, every firm has its own model, so these are just ideas. I would monitor customer satisfaction, for example, via a satisfaction form. Perhaps success rate of the firm in litigation. How many cases do we win? The firm's success in negotiations. How often do we negotiate a deal that is in line with our clients' interests? The rate of invoices paid by the clients on time, and the ratio between the amount finally received and the amount of the initial invoice. Rates of the clients who will use the firm's services more than once. How many customers are returning customers? The speed of processing of a client request. How long does a client have to wait on average before receiving a reply from their lawyer? How many customers are referred by each satisfied customer? The firm's visibility and customer feedback online and on social media. That's your e-reputation. Now, how does that actually help your firm? It'll help you in many ways. First, it will help you detect detrimental or positive trends. If you're looking at your business on an everyday basis, you may miss the global picture. Having KPIs will show you what's actually happening in your firm. It will allow you to take appropriate actions to make the appropriate decisions. It will help you understand where the areas of improvement in the firm lie. Should I improve my customer care service? Should I improve the speed at which I reply to customers? Should I improve my processes so that I can get submissions ready earlier? I would also monitor the impact of decision or the return on investment for new service offers. So, assume you take a new decision, you want to offer a new type of service to a client. How do you measure whether that was a good decision or not? KPIs can help you do that. They allow to know where you stand and what to change if you want to improve your firm's business. This will guide you to customer centricity. This will allow you to transition your firm from the anti-COVID period to the post-COVID period. By focusing on customer needs, you will allow your firm to make a transition that is both financially effective and commercially effective. You focus on what is necessary to serve your client well. Thank you for listening. My name is Nicholas Torrance, and I hope this podcast has been useful to you, and I wish you all the best in these uncertain times. Look after each other and yourselves. Thank you.